Welcome into the Whole Hog Football Podcast, and well, the Razorbacks joined Club Dub, as head coach Chad Morris would say, after their victory over Colorado State. And guys, we got Scotty Bordelon and Matt Jones joining us today, double the trouble. And so I want to pose a question. We'll start right off the bat here, guys. The game was tied 34-34 in the fourth quarter. You know, Razorback Nation, well, they were collectively holding their breath because they'd seen this story play out once or twice. What did you see from this team in that moment to go out and pull out the victory?
Well, you know, I thought that they made plays, and that's been the problem in these games where they haven't been able to pull it out in recent years. I mean, you think about Colorado State last year, they were up by 18, and then they got outscored by 25 over the final 21 minutes of that game. Or you think about Ole Miss last year, I think Ole Miss scored the final 14 points in the fourth quarter of that game. And, you know, I mean, you can go on and on down the list. The A&M games in Arlington, I think that I read something recently that they've lost like 15 games in the last 10 years when they had a double-digit lead. And you know, so it's been something that's been, you know, nagging this program that they haven't been able to outplay teams in the fourth quarter. But I really thought it started with the quarterback play, and I thought that was kind of the theme of the Saturday's game. When Colorado State missed the field goal early in the fourth quarter, the next three plays, Nick Starkle completed passes of 12, 17, and 20 yards, and they weren't necessarily easy passes either. You know, some of them were really good passes, and so that led a scoring drive. And then Arkansas gets the ball back, and O'Grady made a great play on that, you know, on that second down that gave Arkansas a two-touchdown lead, but it began with a really good pass from Nick Starkle. And so, you know, I just thought that having a veteran quarterback playing well in the fourth quarter, there's really no substitute for that. And it's been a while since Arkansas has had an older quarterback who can make those kinds of plays late in the game. I think you probably have to go back to, maybe the TCU game in 2016 when Austin Allen played really well late in the game to find a game when Arkansas was able to do what they did yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, with about 9 minutes left, I mean, look at the game. It tied, right, at 34. And from that point on, you know, Arkansas just made plays, and that's something that they just haven't done in the past, and were able to close the game out. And we see why that 62-yard touchdown from T.J. O'Grady just kind of showed why, you know, NFL teams are looking so hard at him. I mean, he's got just unbelievable ability. And then you get a pretty big play from Hayden Henry. Read a screenplay pretty well, made a play from behind. And, I mean, he laid Marvin Kinsey out cold and forced the fumble. And Ladarius Bishop, who was in place of Buster Brown, you know, he right place at the right time, making plays, and just you had to really like the finish, just closing strong. And you know, you got a guy like Devon Whaley going, you know, who scored the touchdown about midway through the fourth quarter to give Arkansas the lead for good. It was good to see him bounce back, because he'd been virtually invisible, you know, the first 2 weeks. Just to have somebody, you know, kind of compliment Rakeem Boyd was pretty good. And obviously Nick Starkle was solid. You know, he had a lull, you know, right there about the middle of the game where I think he completed like 3 out of 10 passes for about 23 yards and had a couple of balls tipped. Didn't look real great, but you know, he closed strong. And like Matt said, he threw some pretty clutch passes late that, you know, found the hands of playmakers, and those playmakers made plays. So helped them get out of there with a win.
Yeah, Starkle was able to get the ball to his playmakers. And so, speaking of the Bieber boy himself, what did you see from Starkle in his first start as a Razorback, Scotty?
Yeah, I saw him command the offense like immediately. You know, he comes out and he fires 38 yards on a beautiful ball to Traylon Burks. And then he got, you know, he hit Mike Woods on a big third down ball. I think that was pretty big, as Arkansas's had some issues on third down, especially passing. So that ball to Mike Woods, I think for like a 6 or 7 yard gain was pretty good. Sustained the drive, and then obviously he got Trey Knox one-on-one. You know, he said after the game last night on Saturday that, you know, he feels absolutely 100% comfortable throwing to Trey when he's one-on-one. and trust that 6'5", 200-pound frame just to go win those 50-50 balls. He looks sharp, and you know, I wrote on Saturday just about the freshman receivers. He targeted those guys 15 times, you know, dating back to the start of the second half at Ole Miss. He's thrown those two guys away 23 times. I don't figure that'll slow down at all. And, you know, he's going to grow more comfortable. He's already confident guy. You know, you figure if he, you know, gets more and more confident in this offense, and they probably can put in a little bit more than the 25 or 30% of the offense that they went in with Saturday. He's going to look really good, and it's obviously really nice to.
You know, I think confidence is the word that I think of too. And when you have a confident player, you know, it doesn't really matter if it's what sport you're talking about. That confidence kind of exudes, and it, you know, the other players, they feed off of that. And I thought you saw that, you know, in the game yesterday. You know, Starkle, it didn't matter, even when he was struggling in the middle of the game, he still looked confident. And, you know, somebody remarked that if you looked in his eyes in the fourth quarter, that you could tell Arkansas wasn't going to lose the game. And I just thought that, you know, his confidence really spread across the team. The freshmen, players like Burks and Knox, they looked confident in that game. And, you know, Rakeem Boyd ran with great confidence in the game. You know, and so I think to have a confident quarterback, that's a big deal, because in the 14 games previous to the Colorado State game under Chad Morris, and it has looked to me like more often than not, the quarterbacks have kind of had a deer in the headlight type look. And that certainly wasn't the case late in the game yesterday. And I think that makes a big difference.
Going over to the other side of the ball, you know, Bumper Poole, he left the game in the first half in a sling. Are you guys worried at all about the depth of the Hogs at the linebacker position? We'll go with Matt.
Well, I think it's not so much depth, it's talent. And, you know, I think every team has got depth to a certain extent. But, you know, Poole's one of the more talented players that they have on the team. And we'll see how, you know, what the severity of the injury is. Chad Morris said that they should know something by Sunday, which means that, you know, we'll probably be filled in on, you know, whatever the extent of the injury is on Monday during his noon press conference. But, you know, we'll see. I thought Hayden Henry, and I know this isn't the same position necessarily that Poole plays, but I thought he played okay yesterday. I think they kind of rotated, and Scotty, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they kind of rotated Grant Morgan and Devon McClure in that position when Poole was off the field. And I think they were pretty pleased with how they played on most downs. And Scotty mentioned the fumble, though, the fumble forced by Hayden Henry. There was a play early in the game, too, where Henry dislodged the ball on a, I think it was a third down pass, and it would have been a first down. Right. And it you know, dislodged the ball, and I think that gave Arkansas the opportunity to go back down and go up 21-7. It was a big play, I thought, early in the game. And, you know, when I thought Arkansas was just going to pull away there, I thought, you know, this might be the turning point in the game, Hayden Henry's defensive play. So, you know, I don't know what they'll do. I figure Grant Morgan could potentially get a lot of playing time. John Chavis has talked about when they take Dijon Harris out of the game that, you know, they don't feel like the defense really misses anything, not, you know, by having Grant Morgan in his place. And so if Poole's out for any significant amount of time, I would think that that's probably the route they go and try to get him on the field more, because they have liked how he plays. But, yeah, I think from a depth standpoint, you know, what it does is it just puts you, if you're the Arkansas coaches, it makes you a little bit more nervous about, hey, if somebody else goes down, now we're in trouble. Because linebacker depth, and it's been this way at Arkansas for a lot of years, it's not really deep. There's a lot of bodies, but in terms of quality linebackers, there's just not a lot of them on this team, and Poole is one of the few.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. And I think, like, you know, if Bumper ends up missing time, that's two starters, you know, that were with you, you know, 3 weeks ago. And you're having to fill those spots with guys who haven't necessarily played just a whole lot. But, yeah, I think they'll be okay at linebacker, because Hayden Henry, you know, John Chavis isn't one to talk about individuals a whole lot, but he does, you know, he does mention Hayden Henry quite a bit, and Grant Morgan, he kind of speaks about him in that same way. And then I watched Devon McClure quite a bit yesterday, and man, he plays so aggressive. it's like he, once he crosses the line, you know, he's just, he turns into a different dude. He's kind of a fun-loving guy off the field, but he kind of turns it on when he's on the field. And it brings a level of physicality, I think, that you like at the linebacker spot. And he's got good athleticism, pretty good speed. So I would figure that, you know, he would probably factor into the game plan moving forward if Bumper has to miss time. But if Bumper does have to sit with an injury, you know, maybe next week, I wonder just how improved Arkansas's, you know, their run defense was not good yesterday. Colorado State ran for 220. And I know 75 of that came on, you know, the second play of the game, but they still rushed for like 151 in the first quarter. And that's not good enough. So Arkansas's run defense, I think, is going to take a hit if Bumper misses time. And, you know, that was kind of an Achilles heel for them last year, and it has been for, gosh, the last several years. I remember looking up those numbers in fall camp. Linebacker depth, like Matt said, you know, there's always kind of been bodies at that position, but hasn't always been great talent there. But I think Arkansas will be okay. You know, if they have to go without Bumper, you know, against San Jose State, they'll be fine.
You got to mention McClure, too. McClure, remember, he's an older player. He's, what, 25 years old now because he spent several years in minor league baseball. And you have to be a very disciplined player who, you know, is able to kind of take care of your business to last in minor league baseball for that long. And so, you know, I don't know about talent-wise, you know, how good he is, but I suspect that he's going to be the type of player that they like to have in the game because of you know, how well he's able to handle his business. You know, being an older player who's more experienced in life, I think that probably helps him a little bit too.
Okay, guys, talking about the defense, you know, Scotty kind of alluded to it. They didn't play just extremely well. They gave up 34 points to Colorado State, over 200 yards rushing. We'll start with you, Matt. What would you give an overall grade for the Arkansas defense?
Well, I don't know. You know, I'd say, I mean, probably in the C range. You know, they didn't play very well in the first half. I think Colorado State had something like 280-something yards at halftime, maybe 240-something. You know, in the second half, I thought they played a lot better. If you take away, and then, you know, you can't do this, but if you take away the 75-yard touchdown pass on the broken play when Dante Wright and Patrick O'Brien both made really good individual efforts to tie the game. If you take that play away, Colorado State had 91 yards on, I think, 34 plays in the second half. And that's pretty good defense. Now you have to take into consideration that they're without their starting quarterback. But I think, you know, from the first half, it would be a very low grade. The second half, I think it would be a much higher grade. And so I think that probably evens out to, you know, somewhere in the C-minus type range for the defense yesterday. I think the thing that the last two games has told us is that we were probably wrong about the defense being the strength of this team. Mm-hmm. And that's what it looked like in the preseason. But now that Ole Miss, who, you know, hasn't really played great offensively outside of the Arkansas game, and Colorado State, who in their defense is a really good offensive team. Mike Bobo has had a lot of offensive success wherever he's been, whether it's been as Colorado State's head coach or Georgia's offensive coordinator. Colorado State, you know, obviously put a hurting on Arkansas's defense too. And so, you know, they're going to be a team that I don't think can hang their hat on defense like I thought we might say they could before the season started.
Yeah, this week I had a buddy of mine ask me if I thought Arkansas would cover on Saturday, and I said yeah, because I think the offense will score. I thought the offense was looked just completely different with Starkle in control from the jump. But I had a little bit of pause just because of the defense. Like, I haven't seen consistently solid play just yet. You know, I would probably go with a C-minus grade. The run defense was not good, like I mentioned earlier. But Arkansas's defense did score for the second week in a row, which is a big positive. So if Arkansas can keep doing that, that's a huge plus. And might be able to help out the offense, you know, when they're going through lulls like they did in the second and third quarters of games. I didn't like what I saw for the run defense. But as far as, like, you know, John Chavis on Monday said that Colin Hill was an NFL-caliber type quarterback. And, you know, before he got injured, he had only thrown for 99 yards. So it wasn't like he just absolutely torched Arkansas secondary. So I think the DBs played a pretty good game. You know, Dante Wright did have four catches for 97 yards and a touchdown. But I think Warren Jackson had a touchdown too. But they didn't play bad. And Ladarius Bishop, like I said, was right place, right time. And you saw some guys making plays, like Greg Brooks is kind of jumping out there, kind of making his presence known too. But yeah, I'd probably go with the C-. You got to shore up the run defense. So I think the DBs and linebackers are doing pretty solid in pass coverage.
And I think with the way football is being geared so much toward offense now, it's a lot more important to have veteran players on defense. And Arkansas's got some players like Gabe Richardson and McKelvin Agim and Deshaun Harris. But if you look across that defense right now, they played true freshman defensive ends for a lot of snaps yesterday. Bumper Pull, before he got injured, that's a sophomore linebacker. If you look at first and second year players across the secondary, players like Joe Fouché and Greg Brooks and Monteric Brown and Ladarius Bishop. And, you know, so you have to kind of take into consideration it's a really, really young defense. And so maybe the expectations that we had for them before the season were a little unrealistic based on the youth that's there. Because if there's one thing we've seen, it's that if you have a young offensive line or a young defense, teams will find a way to exploit that. And then I think we've seen a little bit of that in both instances this year for the Razorbacks.
All right, last question here, guys, as we wrap it up on the Whole Hog Football Podcast. Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon joining us. What do you want to see the Hogs improve on next week in their game against San Jose State? We'll start with you, Scotty.
Yeah, I think I've talked about it a lot already. I think it's the run defense. Anytime you give up 151 yards on the ground in the first quarter, it's not great. You give up 220 on the ground to a Mountain West school, not awesome either. I kind of wonder, you know, I honestly don't know a whole lot about San Jose State. I'll have to read Matt's scouting report on them and Hawks Illustrated this week to learn a little more, but I figured they'll improve in that area. And I want to just see Nick Starkle, just see if he can, you know, I think Tom Murphy brought up to him on Saturday night that he missed a few throws, and Starkle was like, yeah, thanks for reminding me of that. He missed a couple of deep balls to Traylon Burks and Trey Knox that I know that he wants back. And, you know, Arkansas, if he hits those throws, Arkansas scoring 60, 65 points. So I expect Arkansas's run defense to be a little bit better. Starkle will probably, I wouldn't expect him to play just a ton next week, you know, if they get up big. But I expect him to be sharper. He'll definitely watch the tape and get some feedback on his play. And I expect him to be pretty sharp next week.
If their run defense has trouble against San Jose State, they are in for a long season. This is a team, they were dead last in college football last year in rushing the ball. And through two games, if you take away their leading rusher, who is their backup quarterback, their running backs are only averaging about 50 yards a game right now. And right. So this is a team that cannot run the ball and hadn't been able to run the ball in the last 2 years. And so I would suspect that Arkansas is able, to have a lot more success stopping the run against San Jose State. I'm most interested to see if the offense can have a repeat performance of the way it did against Colorado State. You know, when you think back, it doesn't matter the team or the era, when you have an offensive-minded head coach, when they play lesser competition, they are almost always able to, you know, be able to showcase their offense in these types of games. And that's what Arkansas did yesterday against Colorado State. But it was the first time they've been able to do that, I think, under Chad Morris. They scored a lot of points against Eastern Illinois last year, but that was an FCS opponent, you know, a little not really an apples-to-apples comparison. You know, so I want to see if this offense can keep it going against San Jose State. I think they probably will be able to, because this is a team that I think they ought to be able to score a lot of points against. And I think the final margin might be somewhere in, you know, the same vicinity of what the Colorado State game was. It might be a touchdown difference. I don't know. But I think the game is going to play out a lot different. I don't think it's going to be one of those tight games that goes to the fourth quarter. And so you know, I'll be really interested in the first half to see if Arkansas can have, you know, that type of first quarter success that they had against Colorado State this week, because my gut tells me that they're going to be able to, especially, you know, if Nick Starkle continues to develop and grow in his second game as a starting quarterback for the Razorbacks.
I think it would be like a huge breath of fresh air too for Arkansas fans, just to see, you know, the team just score early and often and just kind of cruise. They haven't had many of those wins lately at all.
And to be able to get stops. You know, yesterday they were able to score a lot early in the game, but Colorado State was keeping pace with them. You know, I think it would be a breath of fresh air for the program to be able to go into halftime with a game already put away. That's the next step, you know, for them when you're playing lesser teams. You know, don't let the game get to the fourth quarter. Put those guys away at halftime and be able to get your backups into the game, because, you know, we're three games deep into the season. I think a lot of people thought that with Portland State and Colorado State on the schedule that you'd be able to have seen some backups by this point. And that hasn't been the case. And so you start thinking about that four-game redshirt rule. It's probably going to be where those guys who are going to, you know, who are kind of in line to have the four-game redshirt this year, they're going to have to play in SEC games in order for that to be the case.
Thanks so much, guys, for joining us. That's Matt Jones and Scotty Borderline. You can read all of their stuff on WholeHogSports.com, Hogs Illustrated, as Scotty mentioned, as well as a place you can find them. You can catch up on all of the good information that they put out and everybody at the Whole Hog Sports team has put out on WholeHogSports.com. Catch up on anything from the Colorado State and Arkansas's big 55-34 victory over them. And then stay with them throughout the week as we are going to have a preview podcast on here, previewing Arkansas's next game against San Jose State. And on the website, have all kinds of information and articles about the San Jose State game as well. I want to thank you for joining us, and make sure to join us back here same time, same place next week.